Over the past few years, I've done podcasts about many different aspects of Spanish society and history, mostly history, and a lot of it from way back. But then I get into an occasional contemporary topic that interests me, and I'll want to share it with my listeners. And then sometimes some of these stories I tell have updates. Updates appear. So I'm going to follow up today rather quickly on two items I've mentioned in the last 18 months and since then have had some more recent news. For example, in late 2021, I did an episode about an extraordinary robbery in the beautiful city of Cáceres, which is this monumental city in the region of Extremadura, which is located on the western part of Spain near the border of Portugal. And it took place at what is surely the most exclusive restaurant in that city and one of the nicest in Spain. It's called Atrio, A-T-R-I-O, and its owners, Jose Polo and Antonio Perez, were left stunned one day, the day they discovered a mysterious foreign couple sneakily swiped 45 bottles of wine from the restaurant's world-famous wine cellar, which is said to house somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 bottles. And they were valued at over $1 million. In fact, I think something like $1.5 million. And that's mainly due to the fact that one bottle alone, an 1806 Chateau de Quim. Chateau de Quim is a winery which is famous for making quite possibly or arguably the best sweet wine in the world. This is from France. And the 1806 collection, I think there's no more than a dozen in the world. But this one in particular, this bottle in particular, had its own unique story because once it was acquired by the owners, the bottle was broken accidentally, and yet miraculously the liquid was not only not lost, it didn't pour out somewhere. Most of it was saved and preserved. In other words, it didn't lose its qualities. It was transferred to a new bottle after being rushed to the bodega in southern France, rushed personally by the owners. I think they just drove up in a car and carried the wounded bottle to the winery, and they were able to save it. And that was all the way back in 2001. And then 20 years later, it suffered another twist of fate and hasn't been seen again. Well, that bottle alone is valued by some at about $500,000. Now, the actual robbery itself was almost as comical as it was tragic, with the perpetrators slipping into the cellar at 2 a.m. after coming down from their room and requesting that the hotel night watchman, because this was a restaurant with a small hotel, all very boutique and exclusive, and they asked the person to make a salad because they were hungry, and the watchman was not really up for that but wanted to please the customers. So while he was in the kitchen doing that, they grabbed the bottles and left before dawn. This is making a very long story short. But anyway, by the time anyone realized they were gone, we're talking 6 or 8 hours later, both the stash and the burglars were as good as gone, what seemed to be forever. At least that's what I thought, and that was sort of the way it was expressed at first in the news. But I don't really know why I thought that, because today technology, i.e. cameras and things like that, make it easier for people to track down lawbreakers. And in this case, it was also helped by the fact that the guests at the famed restaurant actually spoke to Tonio personally. There were guests at the restaurant, so pretty much everyone had a chance to get a good look at them and talk to them. Still, I thought the detectives had a tough nut to crack there. But 9 months later, a couple was arrested in Croatia in connection with the heist. The authorities had their suspects in custody, and just last week, not long ago on March 6, they were sentenced to 4 years in jail and required to pay the insurers 750,000 euros in damages, which of course they claim they don't have. They don't have the wine, and they certainly don't have the money to pay for that. Now the million-dollar question is, where is the wine? To date, no one has coughed it up, and the accused, who maintain their innocence, have provided no clues, which makes sense because if they do say something, it would also kind of kill their not guilty defense. Who were the thieves? Well, it was a kind of Bonnie and Clyde couple, without the Thompson machine guns, naturally. But he was Romanian, and she's a Mexican woman, a former beauty pageant contestant, and according to the prosecutors, the plan had been planned out, thought out, designed for months in advance. Now, the defense is not convinced by the story used against its clients. The defense's lawyers argue against the feasibility of the operation, which includes grabbing 45 bottles in record time. I mean, they supposedly knew exactly what they were doing, where they were going, and where the wine was. But all this while the employee was sort of in the kitchen fetching a few pieces of fruit to bring back to them. And in that time, they were lugging them in two sports bags and a backpack, in addition to three towels that were placed there to avoid that clinking sound that would sort of give things away. And I have to admit, they kind of have a point. I mean, I don't have 45 bottles lying around in my apartment, but I did have a case with 12 bottles tucked tightly into a box, and both the weight and the bulk were sizable, and we're talking four times that number. And now, I love to do these things. I decided to set it up to see how easy it would be to carry just 12 bottles out under my own power, and maybe with one hand, and make it look normal and natural. And it was doable, but it wasn't that easy. And if we're talking almost four times that number, well, I guess it seems like a stretch that they could actually slip away with that amount of merchandise. But maybe anything's possible, and the judges had more access to the details than I do. So that was their decision. Word is that the defense will appeal, but for the moment, they are in jail, these two. And that's the latest. We'll see what happens if the wine actually crops up somewhere. I would certainly bring you an update on that. And another item of news, which was actually fairly recent, led me to follow up on another podcast I did actually before that, I think the summer before, which I talked about the famous Palomares accident, which took place in the province of Almería, in a town or near a town called Palomares. This was 1966. And a very unfortunate mishap between a B-52 bomber and its fueling tanker plane caused a collision and the death of 7 of the 11 crew members, the total loss of 2 huge aircraft, and here's sort of potentially the worst part, the accidental dropping of 4 thermonuclear bombs on the coast of southern Spain. Despite the string of horrendous news, there was a bright side to this all. First of all, the bombs didn't detonate, at least the nuclear part of those bombs. The conventional part did, and that produced some radiation. It was essentially a dirty bomb. And the other part is that the land affected, especially at that time, was sparsely populated. Both the armed services from Spain and the United States handled the initial emergency efforts and cleanup efforts. They were pretty thorough, but then again, pretty isn't a very comforting word when it comes to radioactivity. And there was always worry that they hadn't gotten everything. And that turned out to be true. By 2007, it became clear that there was land that was still contaminated. I think they found two ditches full of contaminated earth, and it turned out to be approximately 50,000 square meters. Since then, both countries have been trying to work out an agreement to finish off the cleanup. That came in 2015 when both sides did agree to try and work out the lingering problem. But little came of it. Both countries experienced serious changes in their governments and their policies. Then you had the pandemic and the recovery, etc. Now there has been in the news talk of renewed efforts to negotiate a deal. At least that's how Spain feels. The U.S. appears to be dragging its feet somewhat on the matter. But there is a sense that the relations between the two countries are particularly good right now, so there might be a chance of bringing some closure to this issue. Should this be a matter of concern for the visitor, the tourist? I hope not, because I've been to that area several times. But as far as I know, it doesn't seem like there's been any health problems cause to the local population, as far as I know. I may be wrong there, but I don't think so. I know they've found some higher levels of radiation in snails, which is sort of sucks for them, but people seem to be okay. The beaches in Almeria are more popular than ever for both foreigners and Spaniards alike. They're really cool, highly recommendable, but anyway, it would still be nice to see some true closure brought to this matter. But that is the second follow-up news, which, you know, in a certain way, really isn't any update at all, other than that they're still trying to clean the area completely after all these years, which is pretty surprising. But anyway, that'll be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments, because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website. Or if you want access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.